as a hen gathered her brood, but you would not. Israel would not let me gather them. And then how many believe that Jesus said right there on the mountain, as he was looking down and Jerusalem was in the little lower plates, and he saw the lights twinkling, he said, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathered her brood, but you would not, but now your house is left desolate. And he said, from here on, Jerusalem shall fall by the edge of the sword. And because you would not let me gather you as a hen gathered her brood, he said, you shall be scattered, you'll fall by the edge of the sword, and you shall be led captive into all nations of the earth, and you shall stay there until the very end time. And then at the very end time, I'm going to bring Israel back again to Palestine and let them become an independent nation. That's what he said. When Simeon picked up the baby Jesus at the 8th day of age and said to the mother, this child here is set for the fall and for the rising again of many in Israel. Now then, Simeon was a man that was led by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. And he said, thank you, Lord. And Simeon prayed and fasted. And the Spirit of God was mightily upon him. And one day in Jerusalem, not in the temple, but in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit said, Simeon, jump up quick and run to the temple because my Lord's Christ is going to be there. And Simeon jumped up and ran into the temple. And when he came in, he looked around and saw Mary and Joseph and the young child. And he ran over quickly, and the Spirit of God came upon him. He took the child up and blessed the child, not knowing anything about the past. He'd never seen those people before. But he took the child and said, Mother, this child here is set for the fall and for the rising again of many in Israel. Israel didn't believe that they would fall and that they would be cut off and that they would be led away from their Jerusalem and from Palestine and would be sent out as vagabonds into all parts of the world and stay there many hundreds of years until the very end. That was unbelievable because we're Israel, God's people, and all of the prophets have come through us. But God said, because I came to my own and my own received me not, but as many as received me, whether they're Jew or Gentile, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So the Bible foretold that he would be found of them that asked not for him. And unto Israel he would say all day, I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and to a gainsaying people. And it foretold that how he would come to be a light, to lighten the Gentiles. The prophecy way back in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before he arrived, it said he shall be a light to lighten the Gentiles and also the glory of his people Israel. And when Christ came, it was a light to lighten the people. I'm saying that everything happened according to prophecy. Prophecy foretold it. When they said, where's the Savior supposed to be born? The Messiah, where's supposed to be born? Why, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem, for thus says Scripture, Bethlehem of Judea, though thou be least among the children of Judah, out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And Bethlehem was the place. Where was Jesus born? He was born in Bethlehem. Then they said, wait, when is the Messiah supposed to come? He's supposed to come during the Roman Empire. Well, why? We're in the Roman Empire now. Yeah. Why? Because said way back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before, Daniel said in the days of the ten kings, the ten king Roman Empire, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, and it'll be a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. It'll thrust the image of all the earthly kingdoms. And that little old stone is going to grow into a great big stone and get bigger and bigger till it finally fills the whole earth. And of that kingdom there will be no end, and I'm glad that that kingdom never was established until Jesus came from heaven in the days of the ten kings and was born of the Virgin Mary according to prophecy. And now, in this many 1900 and some odd years later, I stand at the pulpit preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, while every community and village and hamlet in America has people believing on the Lord. The islands of the sea and around the world, they are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom which shall not be left to another. It shall endure forever. And I'm so glad that you cannot join it. You've got to be born into it. Prophecy. Real quickly, I won't hold you long. I want you to hold your seats and I want you to listen to what I have to say now. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we have made known unto you the power and also the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And when we received of God the Father honor and glory, when there came a voice from Him, from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God spoke down and said, "This is my Son." And this voice came from heaven. We heard when we were with Him in the holy mountain. And now we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light shining in a dark place, until the day star dawn and the day star arise in your heart. He said you'll do well to take heed unto this prophecy, knowing first that there's no prophecy of private interpretation, for the prophecy came not of old by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. I'd like to switch mics now and take this other mic. And I believe that'll be all right. The Bible says that you'll do well that you take heed unto the prophecy of God as unto a light that shines in a dark place. You know what prophecy is? The world today, they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's hid from them. They know something is going to happen. They guess at it. They try to reach out and get someone to tell them what might happen. But how many believe this book here tells us exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? And God's children have a right to know what's going to happen. He said, "That day will not come on my church as a thief in the night. It will come on all that dwell on the face of the earth that are not my children. It shall come upon the children of darkness, the children that are unconverted, the children that are not saved, the children that are not born again. It will come as a thief in the night, and as it were in the days of Noah. They knew not till the flood came and took them away. So will also be the coming of the Son of Man. They will not know until the Lord comes and takes them away." We're having preaching on the radio, television, and everywhere. You go today to the unregenerate, knock on the door, and say to them, "Lady or gentleman, I've come to tell you that Jesus is just about to come. He could come just any day." In spite of all the prophecies that we've had, they'll look at you like you've lost your mind. Now, there are some. There are those that are saved. There are those that have been raised up with godly parents. But I say the world, the unregenerate, they're in darkness. He said, "That day will not come on you as children of night, for you're not the children of night, but you're children of the day. And so be not, let us not sleep as do others." But He said, "Let us watch and be sober." Now my text that I just read, "I have not declared unto you cunningly devised fables." You know what a fable is? A fable is a joke. A fable is something funny you tell that has no foundation or truth behind it. Peter the apostle said, "We have not declared fables to you when we have declared the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's going to come as sure as he come the first time, on time. Now, the second time, we only have so much information. We do not know the day and hour. And because he said that, many of us will say, well, nobody has any idea when the Lord will come. That is essence of ignorance and untruth. He did not say that the church would not have any idea when he's coming. But on the contrary, he said, brethren, I am telling you now what is not, but that what will be. And when that end time comes, these things that I'm telling you about will come to pass, but not until the end time. And when they begin to come to pass, as you see that day approaching, then when you see these things, you know that the time is at hand. That came from the mouth of Jesus. When he said that, there were outstanding things that had to come to pass. He said in the end time, in the last days. He goes on to tell us what would happen. And we have earmarked the end time. Everything he said by prophecy has come to pass. You can guarantee yourself that it will be exactly as he said. Now, he told of Israel, and Israel fell to the edge of the sword and was led away by Titus, AD 70. And Jesus said, when they lead you away, they will not leave one stone upon another. That will not be thrown down. But every stone will be thrown down. When Titus came in, he gave the command to tear the temple down. And because they had gold all in it, he commanded them, said, when it is burnt down, don't leave one stone upon another. But remove every stone and look in it. And if there's any gold, get it out. And the Titus, it's in history, Titus gave the command not to leave one stone upon another. Jesus said, this temple shall be thrown to the ground, and not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they will take you by the edge of the sword and lead you captive. And you'll stay in captive until the very end time. And at the end time, I will bring you back and rebuild again the tabernacle of David. I will cause the desert to bloom and blossom as a rose. And I will cause the desolate places that used to be like the Garden of Eden and has gone down to where it is absolutely a wilderness and destroyed. I will cause it to bloom and to blossom as a rose, and the children of Israel shall come from all the nations where I have scattered them. Before they ever went out, he foretold where they would go. He foretold how they would come back. And 40 some odd years ago, God appeared to me in a dream. And he's listening to me talk. He handed me a Bible and he said, son, take this and preach it to this generation. He said, for the time is come. This is your message. This is the message for you to bring to this generation. And he handed me the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, where all Israel had been scattered in all nations, and they had become the bones of Israel lie. And he said to Ezekiel, son of man, I want you to look and see what you see. He said, I see a valley, a great big open valley, which included the whole world. And he said, I see dry bones everywhere. He said, you believe these old dry bones scattered everywhere could come together and come together bone for bone? he said, I'm talking about prophecy. He said, O Lord God, thou knowest. This is what God in heaven gave to your pastor and told me to preach it. It was going to happen right away. And all East Texas and all Houston knows that almost every week would never go by but what I would take a special message and preach the message that God told me to preach and tell them it had happened right away. At that time, there wasn't one Jew in Palestine. Not a Jew anywhere near Palestine, anywhere. And they couldn't disguise themselves and go in there without getting their heads cut off. And he said, prophesy to these dry bones. And when he did, they all came together. The bones began to rattle and jump and go bone to bone. And they all came together. And he said, son of man, preach again, prophesy. And then he preached and they all came together. Then sinew and flesh, skin covered them. And finally, they needed life and breath. He said, now prophesy again. And the four winds came, breathed upon them. They stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said, now, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They're cut off from their part. They're scattered to all nations. And I buried them because of their arrogancy and pride. I buried them in the nation. He says, is that what he said? That's exactly. Read it yourself. He said, I buried them in the nations because of their arrogancy and pride. But he said, preach to them and tell them, thus saith the Lord, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And as I prophesied, the bones came together. And it said, now, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And you tell them that I'm going to bring them up out of their graves wherein I buried them, and I'm going to bring them back into the land of Israel where I promised to bring them back. Jude and James, Peter, John had business meeting. 15th chapter of Acts. Simeon stood up and said, brethren, you know how that Israel is going to be scattered. They got to go. And said, you know that God has promised according to his prophecy, according to his word, he has visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. You know, he don't do business with you still staying among the old crowd. He said, come out from among them. You got to be born again and get in the kingdom of God. Everybody believe that? Say amen. That's just a little old mic. Now, so we find, he said, how that God prophesied that he will visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, and when his visit is over, he shall return and bring Israel back and build again the tabernacle of David and set it up in the end time. Now that is the prophetic prophecy of the disciples knowing what God had said in Ezekiel and what God said also in Jeremiah, how he would take Israel and bury them and put them down and cover them up in a grave to mar their pride and their great arrogancy. And then again he said, I'll bring them up out of the graves. Now, for 1900 years, Israel was buried in the nations and they were scattered to every nation. Not one, not to Russia, not to China, but Russia, China, and every nation you can imagine, the Jews were scattered. But while I preached back there and said Israel shall soon go back, prophecy said that they shall come back. When Simeon said this child is set for the fall and scattering and the burying and the rising again of many in Israel, he spake under the authority of Almighty God, and Jesus said with his own mouth, I tried to gather you, but you would not. Now you'll be scattered because you did not know the day of your visitation. If God gave Israel a visitation and he turned to us to take out of people, how many believe, brother, this is our visitation and we better watch out? And so, while I preached and while I pastored the Gospel Lighthouse, the first Israelite went back to Palestine, landed and took rocks, bricks, sticks, and sharp cans, no ammunition, no TNT, no dynamite. They went in there literally fighting for their life to fight the Arabs to get a little landing place where they could have a place called their own. It flashed in our Daily Times Herald, in our morning paper. We read about it. But Israel got a toehold. And then from that, they got another toehold. And another toehold. And finally, they got a piece of property, and the Jews kept pouring in. And as the Jews kept pouring in, they began to push the Arabs back. And for a while, began to multiply, and they began to thrive as a great nation. And that's while I'm pastoring the Gospel Lighthouse Church. That's at the end time when he'll bring them back. And they began to thrive. They put up their own post office, threw up their own flag, organized their own army, navy, and air force. And when we went over there, way before they went in and took Jerusalem, they had fleets of jets whizzing through. And I looked as far as my eyes could see. And in a few years' time, that valley of desolation had turned into a rose garden, and there were hundreds of thousands of fruit trees and trees of all sorts blooming, and they had fruit trees so much they were shipping out to different parts of the world. And you on your fruit market today, you get Israel's fruit that comes from her. So we find they become a great power, and in the Six-Day War they marched in and took Jerusalem over. For the first time in 1900 years, according to prophecy, they had to take it according to the words of Jesus. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And when Israel went in, and for the first time in 1900 years, they erected the Star of David, it was no longer in the hands of the Gentiles. And God said in Romans 11, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Brother, we are reaching a place in prophecy where if you're outside of the ark, if you're outside of the fence, and you're still dilatory and you're negligent concerning the Spirit of God, remember Israel heard his voice and closed their heart. But Jesus said, this is happening because you didn't know the day of your visitation. Everything prophecy said has come to pass pertaining to Israel. Today they stand forth as a great and a mighty and a powerful nation to be not feared, but greatly feared by her Arab enemies. Because of her power, and because of her army, and because of her navy, and because of her aviation, her planes. She's come back to stay. But God said when they come back and go into Jerusalem, it will be in troublous times. How many believe you hit it right on the head? Huh? Troublous times. Israel has had a lot of trouble. But he said right after they get back, the clouds are going to appear. And the enemy will begin to sign up together to come down to my people Israel and take a spoil. Am I right? That's what it said. And he said the kings of the north will begin to come in. And the king of the east, China, will begin to stick her head up. And Russia from the north will stick her head up. And the great battlefield of the end time is going to be in the valley of Jehoshaphat, right out of Jerusalem. We've looked over it, where many armies have fought in the past. But the great nations will come into that great valley. And there, said he, will plead with the nations. In Joel, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. But God's word in Revelation 16 says that evil spirits have gone out of the mouth of the beast, dragon, and false prophets. and gone into the hearts of the leaders and the kings of the whole world to put in their hearts to come in and gather them to the battle of Armageddon. If God never misses, but he always hits it, then how many believe that there will be an unholy trinity by which there will be a spirit that will enter into the hearts and gather them together to the battle of Armageddon? And the next verse says, and there will be blood that will come out of the veins of all the armies that come together. The blood will run in that valley up to the horses' bridles, almost 6 feet deep, as far as you can see. Billions or millions upon millions of men are having their blood poured out. And Jesus comes not in his to get his church. He comes to set up his kingdom. But at least 3.5 years before this takes place, which is forming up right now, 3.5 years before this, he's got to come with the voice of the archangel. He doesn't come with the voice of the archangel when he comes to put his foot on Mount Olivet and set up his kingdom. He comes with the saints of God that have overcome in the church, and he brings the saints with him. And the Bible in Revelation 17, it said, they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. That's you. What do you have to be? You have to be called, you have to be chosen, and you have to be faithful, or you'll never get in. But when he comes, he said he brought the army in heaven with him. And the army in heaven is made up and clothed in fine linen. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints of God. The saints of God make up the army that's coming. Joshua's one of them. David's one of them. Elijah's one of them. Moses one of them. I plan on being one of them. Hope you get in there too. But it said there's going to be a number that no man can number. It's as the sands of the sea. They shouted up there after the marriage of the Lamb. Somebody said, are we going to stay down here, I believe, and then he'll come together. Wait just a minute. Brother, how in the world are you going to escape all these things and go through them? I'm going to tell you, my book said, because you kept the words of my patience, I will keep you from it. My Bible says I'm going to rise and be caught up, meet the Lord in the air. My Bible tells me that in the 5th chapter of Revelation, I'm going to go back to heaven with Jesus, and I'm going to be up there before the throne. And the Bible said in the 5th chapter, these here that are without number, and the sound is sound of many waters and mighty thunder. They're before the throne, not down here on earth. They're up in heaven. And said, thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests. Said, we have been redeemed. Not going to be. We have been redeemed from every nation, every kingdom, every tongue, and every people. We have been redeemed out of every nation, kingdom, tongue, and people. And we are made kings, K-I-N-G-S. We are made kings and priests under our God, and we shall reign on the earth. We come from the earth. We were brought here out of every nation, kingdom, tongue, and people. Up here before the throne, we've been made kings and priests. And right after we have our honeymoon, after we have our marriage supper, we are going to go with our Lord, and he's going to come back down and take the world over and reign 1,000 years. That's not dealing unto you, poppycock. It's not dealing unto you some mystic story. We have not declared unto you cunningly devised fables. When we declare unto you about the coming of the Lord, if Jesus had not intended to come, he'd have said, kids, I won't come. There'll be a tribulation. Brace up. Get ready. You got to go through it. He said, you got to get ready to escape it. For if you keep the words of my commandment, I'll keep you from it. And he's going to come. And it says when the devil is cast down, right when the saints go up, and that could happen tomorrow, according to the book. It said when the saints go up,
Said I heard an angel say in the 12th chapter. See, in the end time, God was going to pour out his spirit. And all over this face of the earth, there was a few nucleus here and there scattered that had received the Holy Ghost in their private home. But as an organization, as a church, nobody would openly declare that you could have the Holy Spirit under the dark ages they were put under. Nazarenes came together, Christians, Church of Christ, Methodists, Baptists, Episcopalians, called the old-fashioned holiness. They came together fasting and praying in Houston, in Georgia, and Azusa Street in California, and also in England and in China. Book gives the record at about the same time. God poured out the Holy Ghost at Azusa Street in California about the same time he did in Georgia, down in Houston, in England. And while letters were coming from America to the English and to the Chinese, letters were coming from China telling how they had received the Holy Ghost. What happened? God took carpenters, God took painters, God took men working on the street, janitors, he took doctors, he took lawyers, he'd just take anybody. And overnight, there was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And they got to calling them Pentecost because of an experience of the Holy Ghost. They got the baptism, spoke in tongues. And with that, they got the power for the gifts to be in operation. And they began to pray for the sick and cast out devils. And outstanding, uncanny miracles began to happen by the thousands everywhere. And people was even raised from the dead. Leprosy was healed. Cripple walked. Many thousands of blind begin to see, and God would fill them with the Holy Ghost, and they would scatter throughout America and throughout the whole parts of the world. And very soon I came in. Parham was in the middle of that. I heard Parham in Houston when he came down there. I came in right at the very beginning of the outpouring. And very soon all America was literally filled with tents and revivals and brush arbor meetings, holy old-fashioned revivals, and God's Spirit was bathing our nation, and nobody can deny that. Dr. Price went everywhere. Amy Simple MacPherson, Raymond T. Ritchie, we could mention all of them. This nation, Jack Cole, I could go on and on and on and on over this whole place. Everywhere God's power is falling out. But God said there's going to be a coming, there's going to be a last gathering in until the fullness. Till the latter rain comes to the ebbing of it. Then he said at the closing of that, I have gathered together. I have filled my supply. Then I'm going to break the clouds of glory. Where are we standing right now? Israel has gone back. God said that end time is not going to come until come first. Knowledge shall increase. Then you know it's there. That's the generation. And that generation I will come. And everything that I've said will come to pass in that same generation. Generation is from 70 to 80 years. He said it will start with the knowledge increasing. When did knowledge increase? When we got a telephone, radio, television, automobile, airplane. We'd run people anywhere, run all over the country, run across prairies, see an airplane. Never seen them in an airport. There wasn't an airport in the world. There was no airplane, just barely come in. We got them everywhere now. God said in the end time they'll fly like men. Men will fly like an eagle. How many believe that's prophecy? Men's got to fly. How many believe they're flying now? Amen. Knowledge increasing. We move from one generation to another. Go back to the primitive days. Huh? No transportation. And this, let me tell you quick. God said in that day when I am preparing my bride, he said the chariots will rage down the broadways. The
they will run like lightning. And they'll have big headlights in front of them. And they will jostle. They'll wreck. And they'll jostle together in the broadways. Why? Because there was no broadways on earth at that time. When I was a boy coming up, there wasn't a highway anywhere in the United States. So how do you know? Because I know and everybody else knows of any knowledge. We had streets in cities. Few of them. And few of them was paved. But no highways from city to city. No such thing as a superhighway. Nowhere on earth. No need of it. We'd just come out of the buggy wagon. The old ox cart. But in our day, God said in the end time, many will run to and fro. There'll be chariots without horses. They'll run like lightning. Brother, God drew a picture in the day of the Lord's preparation. And in our day, brother, knowledge has increased. Medical science, electronics, every facet of man's life. To where if we bring one of our grandpas out that died 100 years ago, he'd faint. He'd see electricity, he'd see lights, scare him to death. Never saw a light in his life. No such thing as electricity. We've been introduced to it. It's pushed the old scrubbing board, old lye soap, old Arm and Hammer. Pushed it out. Push a button now. Droop, 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 droop. Walk in, build a fire, put the kennel, the paper. Everybody had to do it. Only one way to do it. Build a fire. When you build a fire, you go ahead and make your living from the scratch. Make your bread from the old sourdough. Today, you go and you push a button. This is a push-button day. Why? Because the inventions that have come to pass, we are living in that day. And God said, when you see these things, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And the world today is saying, what's going to happen? My friend, tonight or today, if you're not ready for the coming of Jesus, you're blinded. Jesus is coming. He could come in a minute. He drew the picture of this day. It'd be a day of violence. It'd be a day when men would become feminine. And you couldn't hardly tell, God said, the women from the men. And that's so. It wasn't in my grandpa's day they'd take a man out and tar him and feather him. We've got sex perversion on every side, and people do it and stick their head up. Back there, it is a public disgrace. Back there, if a woman even saw a man, if a man saw a woman offer a woman a cigarette, you know what they'd do? They'd knock him down. They'd knock him down. And they would. Why? Because it is a public disgrace to even think of a woman putting a cigarette in her mouth. But we've come a long way, baby. We've got adjusted to a lot of things. Sin is rampant in our land. God said it's going to be a day of drinking. It's amazing how many million bottles of just one brewery turns out to the American people every day. Not counting all the others. It's a time when America is drinking it up. But brother, there's a God on the scene that's going to come. God said there'll not be a drunkard get into heaven. I wouldn't fool around anything that could make you a drunkard. And God said not a drunkard. He classes drunkenness with all the other sins. Am I right? What do you have to do? God said, follow peace with all men. Somebody said, well, I'll try. You'll try and go to hell. He said, follow it. He didn't tell you to try to do it. He said, if you expect to see God, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man is going to see God. And if you don't see God, brother, you've got a dark day ahead of you. Am I right? If you have the Holy Ghost in you, and you're prayed up, born again, and you have the Spirit of God in your life, and Christ is in you, you can follow peace with all men. And you'd better do it. And you can follow holiness. And if you don't, you'll never see God. How many believe that's what he said in his word? When you see these things, look up and lift your heads. I haven't, in prophecy,
showed you what is coming among our nations. It is set right now. Every man of any knowledge will tell you that all the clouds that are brewing now are in the east. The trouble is in the east. And God said that's where the end time is going to wind up. God can change nations overnight. But God Almighty said, you watch it. And when all these things that I've told you, the last one, and you know that's winding up. You don't have no more on the scene. You're just rocking against time then. You're living on borrowed time. You shall see signs in the heavens. And when man gets so smart by their electronics that they can take a vehicle and shoot her off and land her on the moon and walk out with a tricycle and ride around and wave back at you and send it back to earth, and all on earth is sitting in their rooms watching a little thing showing the men on the moon walking around. Brother, that's signs in the heavens. The other day we put one of our little buggies down on Mars, and we sat in our room and took a close look up at a rock that is about 10 feet away. Huh? The camera there had landed on Mars and showed us the size of the rock. That's not signs in Africa. That's signs in the heavens. Do you know what next? Then shall they see the sign of the Son of Man coming with the clouds and power of great glory. He'll catch the world eating, drinking, marrying, planning, building, brother, going 90 to nothing, and Jesus is going to come and the trumpet's going to blow and people are not going to be ready to go. Let's stand to our feet.
Have not I told you that these things and many others should come to pass, would come to pass, of a certainty would come to pass? Then as you see these signs fulfilled on every hand, why stand ye and be engulfed with the things of this life, so that day comes upon you unawares, having ears that hear not, having eyes that see not, having a mind that comprehends not? Know ye not that these things are surely, surely, surely coming to pass? As darkness covers the land, as gross darkness covers the people, as nations are angry, as wars and rumors of wars arise on every hand, as sin abounds, iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold, evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, then know of a certainty that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But he's coming for a people without spot and without wrinkle, not engaged and entwined and engulfed with the sins and the cares of this life. What I say unto one, I say unto all, be ready.
While we stand in God's holy presence, that wasn't Brother Hibbard. He said, with stammering lips and with another tongue will I speak unto this people. You couldn't give Sister Hibbard $100 million to open her mouth and say one word in mockery, as though it was God talking through her. For her to yield and let God speak and give the interpretation of the message that is given in tongues, she does it because she's God's child, filled with the Holy Spirit, and lives before God, dedicated every day. And that was Jesus picking up the microphone in heaven, and by the gifts of His Spirit, He spoke to you, confirming what the preacher had preached to you, saying, why stand ye engulfed with the things of this life while we are now on the verge of His coming? And He said, the last closing, that sins and the things of this life are holding you back. But He's coming for a people without spot and without blame. We've got to be in Christ. If Jesus had have come this morning before you came to Sunday school, if there's a doubt, a shadow of a doubt in your mind that you may not have gone because of something that might have got there that you hadn't really thoroughly got rid of, your soul wasn't exactly at the place that it would go, I want you to come to this front, because it's your idea 100%, and that's the only way God will help you. I want you to come if you feel that you have cooled off. I want you to come to the front, and you know what's going to happen? God's not going to make a mock of you while the devil looks on. Jesus Christ will answer your prayer and give you exactly what you have need of. He'll forgive you of any past, and if you're weak, He'll make you strong. And if you need to be born again and you have never been born again, friend, right now, in a minute's time, you can come to the front and say, Lord, I want to be ready when you come. He didn't say no about it and hear about it, but be ready. Why stand ye engulfed with the cares of this life and not and pressed down with the cares and sins unforgiven? I want everyone in the balcony and everyone in the lower floor. And you want to come to the front and have us pray together. We'll all pray. If there's a doubt in the world that you might not have gone, it's no shame. The best of us at many times, we need to come to God. The regeneration and renewing of our experience. And while they play, I want you to start moving out. Listen, when Jesus gave that command, He had dealt with him. He said, how oft had I gathered out my hand, but you would not. Now your house is left desolate. It's left desolate. And it was. For 1900 years they suffered for rejecting Christ. Jesus is speaking to every person in this building that's not ready. If the trumpet would blow right now while I speak, if you're not ready to go in the clouds of glory, and that means to be sold out to God, your sins have been dealt with, you've been born again, and now you're walking in the Spirit and you love God, I want you to come down from all parts of the balcony here and to the front. We're going to pray. I want you to come. Step out while they're playing. If you know you're ready and God sees you and He knows your actions and you know you're ready, but if not, let's move down. I feel that God's talking to people. Watch and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape the things that shall come to pass. Shall come to pass. Not might. Not might, can. That shall come to pass. Watch and pray always that you might be accounted worthy. That means pray every day. Don't pray now and then. Have a prayer life. They're moving. Many can come down this way. Jesus is moving. There are others that God's talking to. We know that the Lord is dealing with young people. Young people, if our life is not dedicated, let's come to Jesus this morning. Let's let the Lord move upon our heart. Just a moment. They're still coming. They're still moving out. Just a little longer. Everyone that's not coming, I know you're ready. You're prayed up. You have a deep burden for the lost. You're going to be ready to put your hand up and pray with Brother Hibbard as we pray for this long line of people that have come and they're wanting Jesus to do something for them. May I say, if the fire is not burning in your heart, you need to come forward. If you've lost the burden for souls, you have no burden to see souls saved. You need to come to this altar. You need to come to this altar. If in any way God has taken the second place in your life, you've laid Him aside, and that's what He'll do for you. If you know God is first in your life, if you do not know it, come up to the front. If God is not first in your life, He's first in your life. If the Lord hadn't have been pleased with the message I brought to you, He would have never sanctioned it directly from heaven just a few moments ago. He brought that message right at the close of my message, and He sanctioned what I said. And He said, "Why stand ye engulfed?" That's drawing your picture. You're letting the things of this life stand between you and your dedication. But as a snare shall it come upon all that dwell upon the face of the earth, and they'll know not. The trumpet will blow. You'll feel the forces of Satan, because the devil is not on the earth now. He's in the heavenlies. But when the bride goes up, the devil comes down with power and great wrath. Men will seek death and not find it. Demon locusts will sting them. The leader of the whole world will show himself a god. Bring down fire at his command anytime he wants to. Perform all kind of miracles. Deceive the whole world. And you will be forced to take a mark. You can't buy a gallon of gas or a loaf of bread without taking a mark of the beast in your right hand and your forehead. In those days you'll scream and say, "My God, why did I let the day go by?" The word prophesied that it'll come. And He that sat upon the throne said to John the Revelator, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Jesus could come before tomorrow morning. But He's coming for those that are ready. I want everyone out in the audience that is not moved. I want you to raise your hand with your pastor first and ask God to send the anointing upon these that are here. Would you do it? Come on. The ones out there that are able to pray, come on, put your hand up. Father, we're at the end time. We are now living in the day that You told us about 1900 years ago. And the way it's going to wind up is exactly the way You said it would wind up. It's going to come with a sound of a trumpet. Lord, I pray that You'll deal with these that have come to the front. I want You to move upon every one of them right now. I pray for the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit to move. Lay Your hand upon every child of God right now. Put peace in their heart. I want You to put the assurance that everything is laid aside. I want You to grip our hearts with faith right now. While we're standing in His presence, I want the dedicated saints of God, I want you to move forward and stand behind every one of these that are here and lay your hands on them and pray as we pray now. Come on, just come forward. We're going to dismiss. It's just a little after 12. We're going to dismiss in just a very few minutes. But I want you to pray with Brother Hibbert. This is a vital time. This is pulling in the net. We're going to ask God. I want everyone to pray with me one way. Lord, send peace right now. Send peace. When you put your hand up, you're saying, Lord, I surrender. And the peace comes. Go ahead. Start praying right now. Put your hand up and say, Lord, I surrender all. That's all you need to say. Lord, I surrender all. Oh, hallelujah. Lucy, God, from everything that stands in the way. Lift your hands unto the Lord. Amen. Lord, take over. That's right, Jesus. Right now, Lord, take over in this life.
Please come.
In this life right now, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Take over, Lord. Take over, Jesus. Right now.
With joy, we welcome.
For Jesus' sake.
It may
right now. God bless these souls. Right now.
May be night.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, right now, bless this precious soul. My God, fill every need in this life. In Jesus' precious name, may every need be met right now in this life. For Jesus' sake,
you praise God. For me.
Glory to God. I'd like for the audience to pray one more prayer with me. Jesus is coming sooner, I believe, than a lot of us think. Would you raise your hand with your pastor? And let's ask God to visit all of the members of our church with a fresh revival, for a hunger to see the souls in Dallas that are locked in the jaws of the devil to be released and to come out. Put a revival in your heart. Would you put your hand up and pray, Father? Oh God, we need it. This nation will perish unless we come to God. America will go down in utter defeat, Father, unless we can have prayers that'll go before heaven. My God, the churches over the country are sinking in worldliness. I pray to anoint us to lift ourselves out of the big elements. Move upon us this morning. Breathe upon us, O God, a fresh anointing from heaven. Father, we ask it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
Come home.
Come home. Is called.